Hey Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Happening on Capitol Hill right now, confirmation hearings for Dr. Oz. Dr. Mehmet Oz was a well-respected heart surgeon, then became a TV celebrity. He has been nominated to lead the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which provides health insurance for more than 150 million Americans. The Senate getting ready to vote today on the continuing budget resolution, a temporary spending plan that keeps the federal government open until the end of September. Democratic leader Chuck Schumer says he'll vote yes and today explained his reasons why.
As bad as the CR is, I believe allowing Donald Trump to take even much more power via a government shutdown is a far worse option.
A federal judge has ordered government agencies to reinstate thousands of federal workers who've been fired by Elon Musk's Doge. The Department of the Trump administration, however, says it's moving ahead with even more layoffs. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. As the weather starts to warm up, Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials are reminding residents that it's time to start looking out for ticks. According to a social media post, DHS officials say ticks are already becoming active even though it's not technically spring yet. They're advising residents to use EPA-registered insect repellent, wear long sleeves and pants, and check for ticks after spending time outdoors. More helpful information on tick prevention methods can be found on the Department of Health Services website. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is warning residents to check fire danger warnings before outdoor burning as wildfire season arrives. According to a press release, the state has already seen around 170 wildfires this year, burning over 450 acres. Officials say that's about four times more wildfires than usual at this time of year. They also say fire danger will be on the rise this weekend as warm temperatures, clear lingering snowfall, and some dry weather and gusty winds move across the state. A Clayton man is facing up to 10 years in prison after being accused of accepting more than $36,000 for a contract project he never completed. According to court documents, 46-year-old Floyd Moen IV was charged with felony theft by contractor in Barron County Circuit Court last week. The complaint alleges he was hired for a project in Turtle Lake in 2019 and cashed a check for over $36,000 as a down payment for materials. A civil lawsuit filed by the homeowners resulted in a $37,000 judgment. An upcoming fundraiser hosted by Forever Fit will benefit the Feed Our Kids Food Backpack Program in Rice Lake. The Climb for Kids fundraiser will take place from March 24th to March 28th, during which participants will be asked to set a goal for how many flights of stairs they will climb on a stair-stepper exercise machine. They'll then be asked to collect pledges or make their own donations based on how many steps they climb in a 30-minute session at the event. The proceeds will go to support over 300 children in the area. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A challenge for Marquette. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a thrilling 89-87 win in the Big East Tournament in New York over Xavier. Cam Jones with 28 points. Talked about the challenge tonight facing the number one seed, St. John's.
You know, it's a very, very quick turnaround. That's the beauty of this, man. It ain't no game easy in this league.
When you think about facing St. John's, what comes to mind?
Let's get it.
In Indianapolis, the Badgers beat Northwestern 70-63 to advance in the Big Ten Tournament. They'll play UCLA today. We'll have a recap after the game. NBA, Bucks snap a three-game losing streak with a win at home. 126-106 over the Lakers. The Bucks wearing a Junior Bridgman patch now for the rest of the season.
I think his legacy is held in high regard. Even before he became part of our ownership group, I was very aware of who he was. And it's just a tough loss, not only on Milwaukee, but on the NBA brotherhood. And, you know, it's just really unfortunate.
That's Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Warm and windy today, with gusts approaching 30 miles per hour, shoving us to highs in the low 70s. And with spring-like conditions, bring spring storms. Those move in late tonight. They could be strong to severe with hail and high winds. Then tomorrow, occasional light rain. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 52.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay. Izervay
or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Maggie Dawn.
Have you noticed that Donald Trump's position on Ukraine seems to change daily? We break it all down for you at 2:30 with Dr. Liana Fix from the Council on Foreign Relations. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers spring training continues. Crew, take it on the Giants today at 3 o'clock if you would like to listen in. On your Civic Media Brewers affiliates, catch the game today on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and WBZH in Hayward. The Crew and the Giants today, a little preseason action starting today at 3 p.m. He joins us every Friday at this time, the creator of the Recombobulation Area and also Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here. Good morning, Dan. Just a couple things we wanted to cover today.
A couple things going Wisconsin news cycle right now.
So there was the debates between Judge Susan Crawford and Elon's pick, Brad Schimmel, for the spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. What were your takeaways from that debate earlier this week?
Yeah, so I was at an event in Madison. We had an event, Protecting Justice for All was the name of the event, and we had a series of panel discussions, and it was all having to do with the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. I moderated a great panel on the economy with State Rep Francesca Hong, State Rep Supreme Moore Omukunde, Joe Zepecki, and Melissa Baldoff. So it was a really good group. I got lucky with a great panel. We have the full video for that at the Recombobulation Area, courtesy of our friends over at Up North News. So go check that one out. Lots of great discussions there. But afterwards, we had a watch party, a debate watch party, which I think is the type of thing only in Madison can you get, you know, a couple hundred people together
to get a debate.
Nobody does civic engagement like the city of Madison. I'm expecting the turnout for them to be somewhere around like 95% or something like that, like usual. But it was really interesting to watch this debate with a live audience instead of just like watch it yourself and take notes and have reactions and all of that. And I thought that, there were a couple big standout moments, like when Judge Crawford called, used the Elon Schimmel line in the debate. Just seeing that reaction there, I think people were pretty enthused by how it went. And checking around after the fact, I think the Crawford camp is pretty thrilled with how that debate went as well. I thought she was very much, in command of the debate. It felt like she was the one dictating, kind of the where the conversation was going. And you had Brad Schimmel really reeling, I think, in a lot of different instances. And you had him not only avoiding like the more substantive questions about, his connection to Elon Musk, about abortion rights, about a whole number of different things, but what did you guys think of the fact that he couldn't even answer the softball questions at the very end of this? Did you guys take note of that too?
When he asked the question of when he was asked, can you think of any decisions that may have upset your supporters?
Yeah.
And just turned it, you should be able to punt better than that. Like that just that loss of absolute, like, well, I have no idea
that wasn't in his script.
Yeah.
That wasn't when they rehearsed it, that never came up. So he didn't know what to do with it.
Right. And well, in even the things that like I expected to come up in the debate, like it was seemed obvious that there was going to be a question about the case on the 2020 election results mm-hmm. with the Trump campaign. Schimmel just seemed so flat-footed on that. The fact that question was even being asked, he like, you know, it was just like, oh, did you agree with Justice Hagedorn and his decision and blah, 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 blah. He just seemed not really prepared for like some of the most obvious questions that were going to be asked in that debate.
Was he not prepared, or did he just really not want to answer or get anywhere near that question?
It seems like that's probably where it was, because it's just one of those things that like the base, the Republican base has been furious with Hagedorn since that decision. And I think he didn't want to upset that. And he's just trying to, you know, trying to thread the needle on finding that support and delivering an answer. And I just don't think he was really able to. And I think in contrast, I think Crawford seemed to be 1,000 times more prepared for that debate than Schimmel.
Well, and I think, too, Brad Schimmel's in kind of a tough spot, because he tells one thing to people who are canvassing for him. He tells one thing to groups that he knows he's got the support of. And then when he goes in front of a more nonpartisan audience, it's like, oh, I got to try and get back into the lane where I'm going to be acceptable, because if I say what I really think, which is he still wants to go along with the, oh, there were some twitchy things that happened with the 2020 election. Oh, it wasn't, I'm not sure. Oh, okay. Yeah. He tells one thing to people he knows are going to be on his side, and then another when he comes before the general public to make him more palatable.
That's such a great point, Jane. That's such a great point. And I think is indicative of the type of justice he could be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, somebody who is saying something to his political allies one way and then saying something publicly another way. That seems like the exact quality you would not want from a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice.
Well, it seems like one you can absolutely have, though, too, because he can sit here and say things like, you know, in his ad that you and I, Dan, discussed last week of, you know, let's let the people decide. Well, I mean, even if it was up to the people, You can still say you're going to back the people's voice and do whatever you want, like the federal justices did. So I think it's just about skirting and skating along, because had he given an answer that wasn't like, so if he was asked about the 2020 election and he would have given a more palatable response, I would hope that those two individuals who are running the debate would have said, well, that's not what you said on the Vicky McKenna show. On the Vicky McKenna show, you said X, Y, and Z. Because, as you said, when he's around his people, he lets loose. There are, quote, no flaws in the 1849 abortion ban.
Right.
If he was asked that night.
Yeah, we might have gotten a vastly different answer. Cassandra on the live stream has a really good point. She says, this is a job interview question. Every interview I've had to prepare for included the question, what is some bad decision you made? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like when Eric Hovde was asked about the farm bill and he said, well, I don't know. I don't have the job yet, so I haven't read it. Are you kidding me?
You know, that debate last night did kind of remind me of the debate between Baldwin and Hovde. Did you guys think of that, too? Like, there was the moment where, you know, I think Hovde did this last fall and Schimmel was doing this in the debate, trying to go for this like gotcha moment. And she was just not having it. And there was, the whole, I don't know, singer at the Bernie Sanders rally or whatever from last week. And trying to bring that up and like, okay, whatever. And she's just like, yeah, I disagreed with that too. And she, blah, 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 blah. She seemed very sharp and ready to respond. And that, you know, it reminded me of like when Tammy Baldwin had a strong moment in the debate last fall, when Hovde was over and over and over again trying to bait her into this answer and then not taking the bait, having this sharp response. I think it was it reminded me of that.
Well, the biggest indicator to me that Susan Crawford did well in this debate was the response I saw by a right-wing outlet yesterday. And their big criticism was that she didn't smile enough. I thought...
Jane, smile while you're saying this.
Can I reach the top of the tower and jump off of it? Seriously. That's was their big takeaway. She didn't seem very warm. She wasn't smiling. Women love being told that.
It's amazing that we're even, that people are even still making those types of comments, right? You think of them as so antiquated and so out of touch. And then that's like their main message.
That's the gotcha.
Coming out of the debate.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
Because you can't, because if Brad Schimmel would have had a night on par with or better than Susan Crawford, that would have been the story. But saying that, by making that moment happen, manufacturing a little outrage on your Twitter, that shows that you know your guy didn't do well that night. I mean, Brad Schimmel left. Susan Crawford stayed for the press. She answered questions. Brad Schimmel took off. He was gone. And I think what I think personally, too, is like, you know, it's been said, Brad Schimmel's been running for this job since Dan Kelly lost. And I think Brad Schimmel has enjoyed a year and a half of a touchless car wash. No one's talking. No one cares. We have a presidential election. We have all these things going on. And now that the focus is starting to come in and we're past the primary and we're starting to see Susan Crawford commercials and yard signs happen, we're starting to narrow in on the fact that Brad Schimmel is sort of an empty suit with dozens of opinions on three things.
And I think Crawford's campaign is kind of, it seems to be peaking at the right time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I think, I thought she did really well in the debate. And I've, you know, followed a number, like she's been on the airwaves here on Civic Media a number of times. And she has, you know, given some public speeches and interviews and what have you. She was at I attended one last week at the Rotary Club in Milwaukee that she spoke at. And that one was, you know, with, you know, real journalists as the moderators, Matt Smith from WISN, Emily Fannin from CBS 58. So people who are going to ask real substantive questions, mm-hmm. like what we saw in the debate as well. And she did really well there. She had real command of the room. She had command of the issues. She was, you know, following up. She was explaining things. She was taking moments to really dig in and find when was the right time to do the kind of like longer answer on things. And that moment seemed to like kind of click for me. It's just like, okay, things are really clicking for her on the campaign. She's getting better at this. And I think, you know, that was to me a prelude to how well she did in the debate. And she had that was the Crawford from last week's forum that I saw that showed up in the debate. And I think people who saw her then are going to have a really positive picture of what she could bring to the bench.
And I guess that's my next question, Dan, and we only got about a minute left, but did enough people see this debate? Do the people who need to see, who have not, they have no opinion on either of these candidates, did they see this debate?
That's always the question, right? But I think the debate is going to be fodder for, you know, clips and ads and whatever else. Mm-hmm. I think the Crawford camp has a few things that they're going to be able to pull from.
When we return with Dan Schaefer, we're going to talk about the state superintendent race. Eric, I see you on the line. We will take you on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Smiley Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is squat about that? The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
We're squad about that one.
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
We're squad about that one.
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up around 11:51, we will, as we always do, wrap up the show with a segment called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, perhaps aptly, it's called the Bite Me Edition. I'm just in that mood today for some reason. So stick around for that. And if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Dan Schaefer is here, as he is every Friday, from the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. We were talking about the Supreme Court debate from earlier this week between Judge Susan Crawford, and Elon's pick, Brad Schimmel. Eric from Wauwatosa has been very patient, waiting to check in on this. Good morning, Eric. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I just want to say I did watch the debate, and I certainly would hope, you know, more Wisconsinites did, but I'm not really sure about that. But I think she crushed it, and she definitely looked, quote-unquote, pleasant enough. I mean, we're talking about smiling for a judge. How many are known for their sense of humor anyways? I've never seen a judge laugh in court in my life. So
Judge Judy, Judge Judy would be the rare exception, but continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Speaking of the serious Supreme Court justices, I wouldn't want to see him laughing.
Right.
And besides, they always talk about like Scalia having a great sense of humor, and he was a horrible person. So let's leave it at that. So he was on the defense a lot, and he was simmering, it seemed, you know, and he tried to interrupt her, and she like was like, I'm speaking, please. Like, you know, he just seemed very juvenile, I'll say. And she also actually said at the very end, they were talking about ethics. And Judge Crawford specifically said she would actually be open to tightening up the ethics rules. And he, of course, was like, no way. You know, she was even ethical in the question. She wouldn't answer certain things with open cases and stuff. And he was blabbing away about it. But really quickly to talk about Ms. Kinzer, you know, she interviewed this morning on Pat Kreitlow's show. And to me, she sounded pretty terrible. But her campaign is actually campaigning with the Schimmel campaign. They're giving out their yard signs at the same events. Moms for Liberty is there. I saw the John Birch Society tabling at the Brad Schimmel fundraiser that also had Brittany Kinzer stuff there. And Tom Tiffany was there and talked about how they had to, you know, take care of this stuff for the good of Wisconsin and things. Also Hunter Nation and Elon Musk, he mentioned them actually stepping in and helping these races. So it's definitely a dangerous time right now in Wisconsin, and we've got to get together and support democracy and our kids by voting for Dr. Jill Underle. And no on the referendum, of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Eric. Really appreciate it. They're bringing back the John Birch Society? Jeez, I did a speech about them in college. Look up the John Birch Society, folks, if you're not familiar.
Talk about party animals.
Wow.
I want to hear that speech. I want to hear Jane's speech.
I actually cribbed it from somebody else, which, and I think I got a B. So I know it was a bad thing to do. But anyway, in the remaining time that we have in this segment, Dan, let's talk about Brittany Kinzer. Brittany Kinzer was on Pat Kreitlow this morning on Up North News Radio, and you were there, Greg.
I was there.
She didn't have answers to a lot of things.
Well, I felt she was on the show for two segments. She spent the first segment of the show of her time there talking about her story, giving a really deep backstory. And Pat wanted to move it towards the applicability of what are you going to do in the job. So you did a reading program with a couple hundred kids, which is great. Teaching kids to read is awesome. How are you going to make that work at a macro level? And then there was some accusations of interrupting. And it didn't really get like.
So she never answered the question.
Never answered the question. Dan, what do you thought? What were your thoughts?
Well, first, I'm glad that she joined the show.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm glad that, you know, I think we at Civic Media broadly want to have more conversations with people we might not, you know, be in complete lockstep with all the time. So I really do appreciate that she is coming on Civic Media. I think she's planning to be on the Earl Ingram show next week.
Great.
As well. So I'd look forward to that interview in addition to that. And, you know, this whole race is kind of strange, right? It's this undercard to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, which is now the most highest spending ever in a race. So I think, yeah, you know, so many of the outcomes of the state superintendent race are going to be tied to what's happening in the state Supreme Court race. But at the same time, you know, I think voters really want to hear from what these candidates have to say. People want to hear, you know, Brittany Kinzer, like, she's not a really well-known person statewide. Right. Like, we saw this in a Marquette poll last week. So, you know, important to hear in her background, important to hear those types of things as well. But I think people want to know where these candidates stand on the issues, and I think that goes for Kinzer, and that goes for Underle as well. You know, I think, you know, I'm not sure if there's going to be a public debate on this. I hope there is over the next couple weeks.
Not much time
we
left.
We shall see. Yeah. Not a whole lot of time left. But I think this is one of those races where the people who are paying attention really do want to hear what these candidates have to say. Mm-hmm. So hopefully there will be more opportunities to do that in the coming weeks.
Well, and I just want to remind folks again, Elon Musk is pouring in millions and millions and millions of dollars into this race because, at least in my estimation, there is a possibility that a court case involving Tesla dealerships could work its way up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And gosh, if you're Elon and you got millions on the line, you want somebody there who's going to be friendly to your cause. So don't forget, Brad Schimmel is Elon's guy. He is Elon's pick.
There is there was a great piece from a friend of Civic Media, Ari Berman, who writes at Mother Jones. He wrote a piece on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race saying that this is a referendum on Elon Musk.
Yes.
This race in Wisconsin in this moment is a referendum on Elon Musk. It's a referendum on Doge. It's a referendum on these sweeping cuts and the wrecking ball that Elon is taking to the federal government. And I think that is kind of emerging as the dominant issue in this race in so many ways.
Talk to your friends, talk about it, share what you know. This is what we always say. If people aren't, not everyone is in tuned or spends as much time on this as people like us. That's a whole nother show. Share what you know. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer when we return. We're going to lighten things up a little bit for the last half hour of the show. Stick around. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Wheels up and we'll be rocking, getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
Mm-hmm.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is urging residents to take precautions as measles cases rise across the country. There haven't been any reported measles cases in the state so far, but health officials are concerned that residents traveling for spring break may return with the disease. They're advising residents to check on their MMR vaccine eligibility with their health care provider. They also say typical flu prevention methods like washing your hands regularly or wearing a mask in crowded spaces can help prevent the spread. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin will join another coalition of states filing a lawsuit against the Trump administration, this time over planned layoffs in the Department of Education. On Tuesday, the agency announced plans to lay off about 1,300 employees, or about half of its workforce. The coalition requested a court order to stop the dismantling of the department, arguing the layoffs are illegal and unconstitutional. Wisconsin has joined a number of lawsuits accusing the Trump administration of overstepping its authority. The city of Ashland is looking for a new city councilor following the resignation of Anna Tochterman. The city council will choose the replacement to fill out the remainder of the term, which ends in April of 2026. The chosen applicant will then need to run for the seat in the following spring election. The city council is asking any interested residents from District 3, which includes Wards 6, 7, and 11, to complete their applications by March 24th. Interested applicants must also attend the city council reorganizational meeting on March 25th. The Bayfield County Sheriff's Office has been using a new tool to help respond to mental health calls in the area. According to law enforcement authorities, the Avell eCare Crisis Care app can help responding officers connect residents experiencing a mental health crisis with a licensed mental health care provider instantly. That licensed provider can then work to de-escalate the situation and provide feedback to the responding officers. Officials say they've already seen a positive impact from the new tool, which is funded by a Department of Justice grant. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Glenn Powell is not by any means desperate for work. In addition to filming a remake of The Running Man and Top Gun 3 on the horizon, Powell has just signed on to a new film called The Natural Order, a sci-fi thriller about the search for eternal life. The production is in the talks with Mufasa, The Lion King director Barry Jenkins. Jenkins also directed 2016's Moonlight, for which he won an Oscar for Best Director. Kelly Ripa and husband Mark Consuelos are often referred to as the cutest married couple ever around their dinner table. The overly perky co-hosts of Live with Kelly and Mark are great at self-promotion, and this time it's because Consuelos did a segment on the show with his fly open. The supposedly accidental open zipper became obvious when he leaned back in his chair. Producers thought quickly and moved to the next segment, which is called Stump Mark, which is a perfect segment name for a guy who forgets to pull up his zipper. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Warm and windy today, with gusts approaching 30 miles per hour, shoving us to highs in the low 70s. And with spring-like conditions, bring spring storms. Those move in late tonight. They could be strong to severe with hail and high winds. Then tomorrow, occasional light rain. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 53 degrees.
I'm Sheriff Todd Scarbin with an important message. Law enforcement teams from across Wisconsin work extremely hard to keep you safe, especially from violent crime. When liberal judges refuse to actually punish violent criminals, it undermines the entire criminal justice system. Some liberal judges, like Susan Crawford, do just that, and her record proves it. Crawford gave 4 years to a guy who sexually assaulted a six-year-old. She gave 2 years to a guy who beat up his girlfriend and also shot a man. And Crawford gave only 90 days for a guy who brutally beat and strangled a woman. We need a Supreme Court judge who will make public safety a top priority, who will interpret the rule of law in a firm but fair manner, and will not legislate from the bench. More than 80 sheriffs agree liberal Judge Susan Crawford would make it harder for us to keep you safe.
Call Susan Crawford at 608-266-4231 and tell her to stop releasing dangerous criminals. Paid for by WMC Issues Mobilization Council.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome wonderfully Wisconsin's Paul Vanderplas, and it's a bar band Friday night with our friend and Max Inc. radio host, Terry Barr. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8.
good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the Board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same if you want to call or text. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. He joins us every Friday at this time from the Recombobulation area. Also, Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here. We're going to lighten things up a little bit. The last half hour of the show, we like to call it Audio Sorbet. So we can take a cleansing breath. I think it's important. And we know what's going on. And we know how crazy that things are.
We've been talking about it for 90 minutes.
I still think it's important to find a place to have a laugh. Mm-hmm. If I don't, because otherwise I will throw myself from the tower, and I would really rather not do that. It's important to have a laugh.
Yeah.
And it's important if you are looking for a job, say, go to civicmedia.us/careers. Civic Media is growing, and we would love to have you grow with us. We're looking for sales reps. We're looking for producers. When I first started here and I was producing for Kristen Bry, I learned an entirely new skill set when I started, and I had so much fun. Seriously. Mm-hmm. You can be a producer, news reporters. There's a broadcasting company that just fired a whole bunch of people. If you are on the beach, as we say in the biz, if you're on the beach and you would like to get back into it, civicmedia.us/careers. We're looking for news people. We're looking for sales people. Check it out, civicmedia.us. I don't know where it comes from. On the beach. I don't know. I love it, though.
I love insider baseball talk, things like that, you know, like we're on the beach.
Insider radio talk.
Oh, are you like, are you going to go swimming? I'm on radio. What does that mean? I don't know.
Anyway, we wanted to talk. This just broke.
Speaking from experience, it is wonderful to have Jane and Greg as co-workers.
Stop it!
Thank you.
Just so multi-award-winning Dan Schaefer giving us compliments.
We appreciate that, Dan. We love having you with us. And, you are a relatively new part of Civic Media.
That's right. And come join us. We are growing. This is like, you know, there's nothing like this anywhere. And I think that is part of what's so exciting about being part of Civic Media.
Yeah. Absolutely. What our founder and owner, Sage Weil, is doing has never been done before. It truly is unique and special and rare. And for folks who are listening, we appreciate your support more than you could possibly know. It really makes a difference. And for spreading the word about us.
Yep.
Because we are not a broadcasting company that has a 40, 50-year legacy to just where everybody knows who we are. So if you can spread the word about Civic Media, we really thank you for that. Okay. We're going to lighten it up. And this just broke this morning. I don't know if this is good or bad. I have a feel. I don't know.
You're hesitant.
I am hesitant. They're bringing back Ted Lasso for season 4.
Yeah. That's not news, though. Like, they said they've been doing, like.
I didn't think this was going to happen, or I thought it was going to happen with just a few of the characters. And now it looks like Jason Sudeikis is going to come back.
We have a clip of him talking on the Kelsey Brothers podcast about it. Calvin, can you play that clip for us?
Ted Lasso fans, man, thank you, because that shit is gold.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Is there season 4? Is it in the works?
Are we allowed to say
that? I don't know
what
I'm allowed to ask.
I think you can ask it, yeah.
That's what we're writing. We're writing season 4 now.
Yeah!
That's the official word, yeah. Ted's coaching, they're a women's team. So there. That's
happening.
That's
a women's team.
Yeah.
Is he coming back to the States? Or?
Yeah, that's too many questions. But
yeah, we'll leave it at that.
So, there you go.
And it's only because I don't know.
So Ted Lasso is coming back for season 4, but this kind of works into our, should we do it? Maybe not.
I just want to have as many of the old cast come back as possible, because if you don't have a Roy Kent or a Nate, or even the guy who, the bass player, the guy who, Higgins.
Higgins, gotta have
like,
Higgins.
I feel like all of them have to come back. For me.
You got to get the band back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or it's not going to be the same.
So
what other things would you be hesitant about seeing as a remake?
Yeah.
Like, don't do it. Just don't do it. Bad idea. The original was perfect. Why would you try and make it better when you can't?
Yeah.
For me, it would be The Princess Bride. I never want to see them try to do a remake of A Princess Bride. Don't do it.
You know who else doesn't want it? Every living cast member of The Princess Bride.
Of that movie.
Yeah. They are vehemently against the idea.
It's a perfect movie.
Yeah.
It cannot be made better.
Yeah.
Do you have one, Dan?
That's a good question. If there's one that I would not, I generally don't really like the remakes in general. Like, I'm bringing something back. But I will say, because there's been kind of like talk of it in like the sitcom stuff, I would not like anything to be brought back to like redo 30 Rock. I love 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Tina Fey, Tracy Morgan.
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
That group. Like, you know, there's always like there's Parks and Rec or Office or like whatever types of things. And like, I think The Office kind of lasted a little bit longer than it maybe should have. And things get so. And I think 30 Rock was just kind of a perfect show. And as they kind of like talk about rebooting like everything on Peacock or whatever, that's an NBC show. Let's leave 30 Rock.
Don't do it. Just don't do it.
What they did with a show like Night Court is. Well, because now only two of the original members of the classic cast are alive. But they just said, all right, here is the judge's daughter. She is a judge as well. And here's the show from this point of view. It's not like a remake. It's not a reboot. It's just a continuation. It's a legacy show. I have more interest in things like that because at least you can tell new stories in the same universe. But I would never want to see them try to remake a Parks and Rec. I don't think you can. And I don't even think you could do a legacy show version of it because all of those individuals now are superstars and some you cannot get them all back together unless they're doing like what they do with I was just telling this to Calvin yesterday is this new form of TV where when we were younger, TV was September to May, 22 episodes. You had your reruns, you could watch it on DVD. But now what they do is these shows that even on network television, they're 13 episodes.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not it's
not enough.
That maybe if you're HBO, but like, I don't want to watch a 13 episode season of Parks and Rec. Certainly not like any other, like a 30 Rock too. So leave those alone. Leave them alone.
855-752-4842. Don't do it. Just don't do it. What should they not try and remake? We know they are going to have a season 4 now of Ted Lasso. Please don't screw it up. Please don't screw it up. Robert from McFarland texting in, listening in Madison on WMDX. Please don't remake Cheers.
Yeah.
You couldn't. No.
No.
Because you have to have Norm. Right?
Yeah.
You got to have. What about Woody, the bartender? And as you said, Woody Harrelson is just way beyond.
He's an Academy nominated actor now. He couldn't do a sitcom like that. Like,
right.
I don't do Cheers. Cheers is a great show. Cheers actually ages really well because some of the topics they in the first season of Cheers, they take on homosexuality as like acceptance or denial. Even on Night Court, there's an episode where Dan's best friend from college is trans, and that's like 1983.
Wow.
So some of these shows, really, we don't need to redo them. Cheers, just watch Cheers on Peacock. By the way, we're not paid by Peacock.
Yep.
This is not an ad for Peacock. I wouldn't mind getting that Peacock money, but come on.
Eric from Tosa, we were just talking about Civic Media hiring. If Civic Media would hire me, I work cheap. I'd help spread the word even more. Just saying, his quick answer, Say Anything. Movie with John Cusack.
Correct, with the boombox.
With the boombox.
I've never seen that movie.
I haven't ever seen that movie either.
Yeah.
855-7... It's fine. 855-752-4842. Don't do it. Just don't do it. What movie, what TV show should they not try and remake?
I think for me, my choice... Like, everyone has had their choices, and I either agree or disagree, but I think for me, the big one would probably be the movie Clue.
That's another movie I have never seen.
It is a fantastic. Jane,
who's in that?
Oh my gosh. Strap in.
Okay.
We got Tim Curry.
Oh.
We got Madeline Kahn.
Oh.
Martin Mull. Christopher Lloyd. Leslie Ann Warren. Colleen Camp. We got Michael McKean. It's a murderer's row of comedy in one movie. And And it plays along with the board game enough to make sense that it's called Clue, but it's not absolutely inherent to know the board game to like the movie. And this is, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, everybody, what's happening now with studios is that they're taking these IPs that originally bombed in theaters or on TV, and because they have a cult status and people love them, they're like, well, people love the movie Willow. Let's make a TV show.
Yeah.
That TV show bombed so bad, they took it off Disney Plus. You can't even watch it now. So leave Clue. It bombed in the movie theaters. It got big on VHS. Let Clue be Clue. Ryan Reynolds, I'm talking to you right now.
Let it lie. Let it lie.
Yeah.
Jake from Madison listening on WFHR. Don't reboot Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Nope.
Or The Breakfast Club. Appreciate that, Jake. Listener on WGBW, please don't remake Goonies.
No.
There was talk about it. Just no.
They've talked about a remake, and they've talked about a sequel. Don't do either. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone.
There have to be more original ideas in Hollywood, aren't there? Apparently not.
It doesn't seem like there's enough.
No.
It's always remakes or sequels. We got to get more original stuff.
Yeah.
Here's one that was in the news this week, too, that I'm curious what you guys think about. They're making a Spinal Tap 2.
No!
No!
That's a terrible idea. No!
Shut it down!
They put a trailer out. It is one of my favorite comedies. I love This is Spinal Tap. There are scenes from that movie. Doesn't matter how many times I have watched it, I am going to fall out of my chair laughing at the Stonehenge scene every single time.
I don't think the problem
for
was
the 41st anniversary, they're making This is Spinal Tap.
Oh, that's a terrible
one of the greatest
idea.
Lines from that movie. I don't think the problem was that the audience wasn't into it. I think the problem was that there was a Stonehenge in danger of being crushed by a dwarf.
Trod on by a dwarf. A couple more I want to share coming in on the text line. Sally and Mequon listening on WAUK. The redo of Frasier, in my opinion, was awful.
It's infuriating because there are tiny speckles of moments of the old brilliance in there. Just totally. Because the thing is, that was an NBC show in prime time. Now it's a CBS show that I think they canceled that was on Paramount Plus, and it's 10 episodes.
You can't do it without Niles.
Oh, no. Niles wanted nothing to do with it.
You can't
and
do
they
that.
Even tried bringing in all like these old people. Lilith was on. It doesn't matter. Just don't.
Liz from Saukville listening on WAUK. Don't remake the Golden Girls.
Too late.
I mean, come on. Replacing Betty White? You can't.
They're doing it with aging gay men.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scott listening on WMDX in Madison. Don't remake Land of the Lost. And while I will watch Spinal Tap 2, it will be lame.
Yeah.
You're taking the bullet for all of us, Scott. I guess we appreciate that.
I'm going to watch Spinal Tap 2. I'll watch it.
Just makes me sad. Now I want to watch it over the weekend.
Hello, Cleveland! Yeah,
turn it up to 11, Jane. Turn it up to 11.
Turn it up to 11. Dan Schaefer is here. Thank you so very much. When we return, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Bite Me edition. Don't go away. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is flawed about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We recognize the groundbreaking achievements of Elizabeth Bayard. She defied the odds to become the first female journalist in Northeast Wisconsin. It was the mid-1800s. Bayard was considered a trusted voice as she wrote about the developing area of the territory known as Green Bay. Her reporting revealed the stories of women and families, offering a fresh perspective in a male-dominated press at that time. Perseverance, passion, and breaking barriers, Bayard is a part of Green Bay and Wisconsin history, and a symbol of the progress women continue to make every day. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Lisa Hale.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Our resident young person, Calvin, on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show on Monday, we were talking earlier this week about potential cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And I had someone reach out who has MS. And autism, and is on Medicare, and is a big advocate for people who might have conditions that are not visible.
Yeah.
Because I think we always assume that people who are receiving this assistance are in some way that we can see.
They're in a wheelchair.
There's a cane or something. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily the case.
No.
So Dave Wild is going to join us coming up on Monday at 10:33 to talk about his experience on Medicare and Medicaid and why it is important and what this does for folks. In hour number two, fingers crossed, beyond the cheese.
Oh, my gosh.
We've had a couple hiccups. The last couple of times, it might be cursed.
We're not wearing our hats while we're doing
that. Maybe that's what it is.
We need to wear our hats, folks.
We're going to be talking to someone from J. Henry and Sons, which is in Dane County.
What do they do?
They make bourbon, baby.
We're getting drunk, guys.
That's on Monday. We'd like to do Beyond the Cheese, a chance to highlight businesses, industries in Wisconsin that are not within dairy.
And there may or may, depending on if the thing happens.
Yeah.
Might have a giveaway.
It's called a tease.
Tease, baby.
So join us Monday after 11 o'clock and cross your fingers because we've had a couple snafus the last. Yeah. It's gonna go off this time.
I'm feeling nothing but joy and positivity, everybody.
11:54, just about, Calvin. That means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Today it is the Bite Me edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. This from sbnation.com. Headline reads from James Dater with the byline, German soccer match canceled after child bites referee's testicle.
Just one?
That's what it says.
That's some aim.
A story out of Germany, so unbelievable we didn't think it was real. Except the fact that soccer has a way of continually churning out some of the strangest moments in sports. Over the weekend, a soccer match between two teams in Germany had to be canceled after a small child on the field ran up to referee Stefan Koller and bit his testicle, causing enough pain he was unable to continue. The incident occurred while Koller was doing his typical pregame ID check of the players, which is apparently a common thing.
He hadn't even done anything to make someone mad yet.
Quote, while I was checking the player's ID, a small child was doing warm-up exercises along the players. He came closer and closer to me, then suddenly, to my complete surprise, gave me a sharp bite in my left testicle, unquote.
Oh, it's the tiny child put the tits down and chomp on my bubble. Ah!
Koller went on to say he couldn't start the game because of the pain and that the match would have to be rescheduled for a later date. These are not my words. This is from this article. It's unclear if Koller has the balls to try and officiate it a second time.
I would remember this moment every time a man says that a woman gets too emotional or anything. I'm like, oh, you got your thing chomped on and you can't work at all today? You got to call in sick? Please.
There's no word why the child, who is reportedly a fan of one of the teams, has been trained to bite testicles like a police dog. This is its own segment. This shouldn't be a thing.
This so shouldn't be a thing.
It so should not be a thing. You can always download this just as a special podcast. Tisbats, that is.
Go to civicmedia.us and go to shows. Tap in the little things that this shouldn't be a thing. Oh, my God. This is amazing. I need to know more, but I hope there's follow-up because why? Why, child? Why?
Well, we'll see. We'll do some research and see what we can find out.
I'm not reaching for nothing.
If you got soccer matches this weekend, be careful out there.
Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, Dom Salvia, Pete Schwabba. From 6 to 8 p.m., we are the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look at the headlines, which are changing hour by hour, and also leave you at the end of the week with a laugh with Peter Rapine from E-Bombs World.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the Senate set to vote on the House-passed bill to extend funding the government through September. Democrats debated this week whether to oppose the bill, saying it does not offer protections for jobs or key programs like Medicaid. But now Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says he's backing the bill because a no vote would give President Trump and DOGE more power to carry out cuts if the government closes. GOP leader John Thune agreeing, but also blamed Democrats for needing the extension.
To be clear, Republicans aren't thrilled about another CR. But it is our best option to make sure that last year's failure by Democrats doesn't interfere with this year's appropriations process.
The shutdown deadline, midnight. The Education Department announcing over 50 universities are being investigated for alleged racial discrimination. It's all part of the president's campaign to end diversity and equity programs at higher education institutions. And if the skies were clear overhead, you got to see the lunar eclipse or blood moon overnight. This is ABC News.
I'm James.